You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by onlysupernews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by onlysupernews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello and good evening. So the podcast is back after a week off last week and with a new host for the next 3 weeks while Harry is away. I'm Kev Clark. Good evening and a warm welcome to week 15 of the Lambs Media Weekly Quarantine Podcast. I hope everyone is safe and well. The idea behind the podcast is to bring new content, including interviews, and raise awareness of all the competitions, challenges and content that can be found over this period. So coming up on tonight's episode then, we'll be recapping all the news since the last show, which to bear in mind is a fortnight. We'll be hearing from new signing Liam Bateman, as well as speaking with former Tamworth FC legend Scott Barrow. As always throughout the show, make sure that you're active on the chat, and if appropriate, I'll give you a shout out. I can see a couple of you in there already. Hello to Sarah and Josh, as always. Hello, Stuart Jones. and anybody else listening in this evening, a very warm welcome to you. So let's recap everything really that's been announced by the club and any other news affecting our level of football in the last couple of weeks. Just in case of you, some of you aren't aware, the club recently announced signings of attackers Lyndon Meikle and Aaron O'Connor, while also defender Cameron Hawkins has re-signed. The club have expressed thanks for the services of Ahmed Obeng, Luke Little and Delano Reid, who have all left for pastures new. Now, head of senior football at the Lamb, Tom Bailey, has indicated that there will be more signings by saying, quote, "We have one or two more additions still to be announced in the coming days, and a couple of potentially audacious ones we're trying to get as well." So read into that, folks, what you will, but it sounds very promising nonetheless. Unfortunately, the club has lost a great asset in Jamie Relf. The development team manager has stepped down from his role, citing circumstances in his work life that meant he could no longer give the role the commitment that it needs. Under Jamie's guidance, the development side were unbeaten in their first season in men's football in League Division 4 of the Midland Floodlit League, a great achievement, and Jamie leaves with the thanks and best wishes of Tamworth Football Club. Now, most of you will already be aware, in terms of next season, we are on course for a Saturday, September the 19th restart. Sadly, as things stand, this will be without fans. The club has published a list of pre-season friendlies on the official website, starting with Corn away on the 8th of August. I will pop the link for that in the chat at some point this evening, but of course you can hop over to the official website and read the story there. And finally, Lambs Media also has voluntary vacancies, which include some photography roles and some filming and editing opportunities. If you are interested, please get in touch with Lambs Media on media@thelambs.co.uk. Now, in our first interview this evening, we'll be continuing our Tamworth FC Legends series. A couple of days ago, I managed to catch up with Scott Barrow, and this is what he had to say. Hi, Scott. Great to get the opportunity to talk to you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Back home in Wales. I haven't seen the family for a bit after being in lockdown in the northeast. But yeah, I'm good. I'm just looking forward to my next chapter in football, wherever it leads me. And yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, some of the fans listening into the podcast will be aware that you were released by Gateshead recently. After a while there, so you are a free agent at the moment. I'm sure many of those fans would love to see you back at the Lamb, but we'll let the future decide that. So you joined Tamworth back as a fresh-faced 21-year-old in 2010. You quickly became a fan's favourite with your gritty performances, but where did you play before joining Tamworth?
Obviously, before Tamworth, I played in the Welsh system. I was with Swansea until I had a pretty serious knee injury, fractured my femur, which took me out for a while. Got myself back fit, but Swansea never played me, so I kind of fell out of love with football. I kind of quit, and I started playing for my dad, which the standard of football at the time was one below the Welsh Premier, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Obviously, playing his dad's your manager, and you're playing under him is brilliant. I had that when I was a kid, and just having that feeling again, I loved it. My performances were good, and a 16-year-old playing in the man's league, don't really get that at that time, because it's all about experience. It's all about no youngsters ever had that opportunity, which lucky enough I did under my dad, and them kind of performances then led me into Port Talbot having a look at me, and they ended up signing me. So I had 5 good years there, made a name for myself as a 16-year-old at Port Talbot. You know, making again over 100 appearances for Port Talbot, making history at Port Talbot for 5 years. You know, getting the club to a third position in the league, beating, I know at the time you had five full-time teams, you had your TNS, your Rill, your Bangers, who had a lot of money who they threw around, and we didn't. We were a part-time club where we just stuck together and worked hard, and you know, we ended up third that season, and then we got the Welsh Cup final, which we just narrowly lost 3-2 in the last minute, but you know, something I'm very proud of. And then that led us to the next season, then we got into Europe, and again it's a boy's dream to go and play in Europe, and I got the chance to do that, even though, you know, we lost 7-1 in aggregate. But I played against TPS Turku in Finland, and I get to play against one of the greats in football, of Jonathan Johansson, and I still got a shirt in the house, which I should be framing, to be honest. But yeah, that was my last game for Port Talbot. Then Tamworth looked into me and end up having a trial at Tamworth first. I didn't know where Tamworth was, so I had to Google it before on a Tuesday night. So I had to get there as quick as I can. I got there for an hour before kickoff, and I got changed, played my 45 minutes, and I impressed Gary Mills that day, and he invited me back to play against Rotherham on a Saturday then. Played 90 minutes that day, and yeah, he wanted to sign me, but obviously had to do two agreed terms with, I agreed terms, but obviously the two clubs had to agree on a fee because I was on the contract at Port Talbot, and lucky enough I got that opportunity, and it kind of kick-started my professional career, and I'm very grateful at Tamworth for doing that.
You have obviously had a very good grounding in men's football in the Welsh League, and obviously it stood you in good stead then. You went on to make 111 appearances for Tamworth between 2010 and 2013, scoring 8 goals. And just let's just highlight that for a moment. 8 goals as a fullback. It's not a lot of goals in 3 seasons, but I'm sure you've got your own thoughts on that, whether you think you could have scored more or whether you feel that was a fair return.
No, I'm very happy. 8 goals in 111 appearances. As a fullback, it's kind of good because obviously you don't really get involved unless you're a set-piece taker, unless you're a penalty taker. You're going to score a lot more goals. But I think the goals I scored were, you know, pretty spect. The 8 goals I probably scored, 2 from the penalty spot, which against Dartford, which I rarely take penalties, to be honest. I don't know how I got that ball that day. We won 3-2 and I slotted 2 in, and I think I can remember seeing my dad in the crowd putting his hand over his face, because I think he remembered last time I took a penalty was a Welsh Cup quarter-final years ago, and yeah. I missed, and it was a left-back was in goals because the keeper got sent off, so I missed. I kind of cost us the game. So I think he was a bit, that was the last time I took a penalty. But yeah, 2 goals, and like I said, some of the goals have always been from 30 yards, spectacular goals. I know I wish I could score 6-yard tap-ins or come off my shin and trickle in the bottom corner, but I never do. I find them more harder than scoring from 30 yards. Yeah. Like I said, I remember goals, remember all the goals, to be honest. Like Nuneaton, we played, like obviously it's supposed to be a Boxing Day game, but it obviously got called off because of weather, so it rearranged it a couple of weeks later. And I think we went 1-0 down, and I said, again, to this day, my best mate in football, Richard Tate, and you know, he set me up that day, and I went through and scored with my right foot in the top corner, which again is very, very, very rare to score with my right foot. And then I repaid a favour then by crossing the ball, and then he scored at the back post. And them kind of memories always stick together, because obviously one is against Nuneaton, 2 local rivals, and it means a lot to the club. And 2, when I do score goals, I always remember them. And scoring 8 goals as a fullback in 111, I'm pretty proud. I say I wish I could score more, but I just need to get more involved of set pieces and free kicks. But yeah, 8 goals, I'm very proud of scoring 8 goals for Tamworth.
Fantastic. Is it fair to say that during your time with Tamworth, the standout memory would have to be Everton away in the FA Cup.
Yeah, to me, obviously playing Everton was, you know, one of the best things ever. You know, the whole FA Cup campaign that year was eventful. You know, playing against Hinkley, I think we played him away first and we drew 2-2. We scored last minute. We had to take him back to the Lamb and we won an extra time, which was, again, was tough. And then we got the second round and we had Gateshead away, which, you know, I've been there for the last 3 years and it's probably one of the toughest places to go to. You know, it's open, it's windy. You know, the pitch is always immaculate, but it's a tough place to go at the time. You know, Gateshead were a very, very tough team. And, you know, to come away that day with a last-minute winner, and then Pato scored from a corner, and I think we all run over to the way end, all of us celebrating. It was something special, and, you know, and you get to look forward to the third round draw, which, you know, I've been in it twice, and I think it was a Monday when we had the draw, and, you know, all the players at the Lamb and all the fans were there as well. That clubhouse was absolutely packed, and, you know, you would have liked your Uniteds or Chelsea's or Arsenal's, but to get Everton is still a big club, and I still remember it all. You know, it brought the whole club together. You know, when we were leaving, we had so many schools outside, you know, cheering us on and giving us a big send off. And then just the experience of, you know, training at Liverpool the day before, you know, training on fantastic facilities. You know, you get treated like a king when you get to these kind of rounds and all the media. And then the day then when we walked out for the warm-up, you know, and they didn't take us lightly and they put their big squad out, and, you know, your Fellainis and Seamus Coleman and Royston Drenthe, and it was good because, you know, you're playing against a big team, and you get elite players. You want to be playing against elite players and see how good you are. And I think I remember walking out and seeing the 5,000 Tamworth fans, you know, and I've never seen it before. You know, I think at the time I've always seen about, you know, 1,500 at the ground during the big games. But to get 5,000, you know, at Goodison Park, you know, cheering from the first minute to the 94th, it was incredible. You know, we went 1-0 down the first 5 minutes. I thought, oh, it's going to be an absolute hammering here. But we give it a right go. They scored in the 85th minute to make it 2-0. And it was fantastic. And I think best thing about that day was, you know, getting a meeting David Moyes after the game in his office and, you know, telling me how good of a left foot I had, and I was the second best left foot he's ever seen. Obviously Leighton Baines was better than mine, but I'll take being second best. But it kind of pushed me on to try and better myself and my football career and just keep on putting the performances, and I kind of did, and obviously I'm very proud. I'm saying again, making 111s, but, you know, I think Everton and even making my debut for Tamworth was up there for the best moment under the Tamworth shirt.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm just listening to your explanation of that day and the whole experience, and it's just taking my mind back. And as purely as a fan, I wasn't involved in the media back then, but what a fantastic day for the football club and for everyone involved, really. Now, Scott, we've mentioned Gateshead a number of times, and we know that you've played there recently, and we played him in the FA Cup, as you've explained. Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it Gateshead at the Lamb in 2013 that was your final game for Tamworth? So I think you came off at half-time with, was it your knee injury?
Yes, sadly it was my last game for Tamworth. It was kind of a surreal week, to be honest. Obviously, during that week, heading up to the Gateshead game, obviously, I think it was a January transfer window, and a League One club come in for me. I think it was Colchester, and they put in two offers that week, which obviously Tamworth turned them down, which obviously I didn't mind. It's up to Tam. Obviously, Tamworth know how much I'm worth and what they wanted to get off me, which, no, totally fine. And then obviously it led it to the Gateshead game. And again, it was It was just surreal. It was my last game. But the whole how it happened was kind of, I don't know. Well, I don't know what happened. Just when I say again, he's one of my good mates in football, Jamie Chandler. I know since moving up to Gateshead, I got to know him. I kind of hated him for what he did. Obviously, pushing me off the pitch. Obviously, it happens in football. I kind of hate him, obviously being out for so long with my knee injury. Then, but when I moved to Gateshead, I got to know him, and he's a good lad, and he never meant to do it. You know, he obviously apologised, but yeah, that was my last game. And he was just bored, running out of play. And as you do, two people are going for the ball. I was trying to shield it out for a goal kick, and he's trying to keep it in, and he's pushed me. And yeah, my foot got stuck in one of the drain covers at the bottom of the pitch. And, you know, the next thing happened, you know, my knee went one way, my body went the other, and I felt a snap in my knee, which didn't really sound good. I was in agony. I got hobbled off. Lucky enough, it was on half time. Didn't have to go back on. And I was in the physio room, and they were saying like, it's okay. You know, it's only tendons. And, you know, I was a little bit optimistic. You know, lucky enough, my dad was there, and he got to take me home and look after me. Trying to cheer me up with the Chinese, to be honest, and which it didn't work, to be honest. But then I woke up next morning, and my knee was, I've never seen swelling like it. It was just all over my kneecap, and I kind of knew then it was something serious, something bad. And obviously, lucky enough, I know Hoos. He's one of my better, one of good mates in Tamworth, and I always visit him, and I always visit his family. I rang him, and he came over, and he went, "That's not right." He said, "That's not good at all." And I had a scan. About a couple of days later, I waited for the swelling down, and obviously, he had the bad news, and you tear your ACL, which is probably up there, one of the toughest injuries you can have. I'm lucky enough that I went through a similar injury when I was 16, when I fractured my femur. Being told that. No, as a 16-year-old, when I fractured my femur, I had no pulse, being told that I might not play, I wouldn't play football again. I wouldn't kick a ball again. I might lose my leg because I couldn't find a pulse. But lucky enough, you know, with minutes to spare, you know, I finally had a pulse. Lucky enough, I was in good stead to overcome it, overcome that injury. You know, it was still pretty tough. I was in a dark place, you know, obviously. Didn't know what was going to go on. I was obviously still in Tamworth at the time. You know, I couldn't really see my family because I was, on crutches. I couldn't really drive home. And it was tough. And then obviously the season ended then. And obviously I got released, which was kind of one of the toughest things to take, to be honest, because, you know, being injured and I couldn't really do anything. I was from going... You know, that's the thing, from going to a League One club, getting interest from a League One club, to snapping your ACL and then getting released a few months later. It was tough to take. And it just kind of motivated me a lot more to get back from the, even though the injury took a lot longer than I thought. But it motivated me to get back to where I wanted to be. And once I did come back then, and, you know, it got fitter and stronger, and it kind of kicked on my football career, to be honest. And you know, like I said, I've made football league appearances, and I've won Vanarama Player of the Months and Vanarama Player of the Seasons and Team of the Season stuff. So it kind of, like I said, it motivated me a lot more, and it pushed me into a better place as a footballer, to be honest.
You know, you showed enormous determination, Scott, to recover from an injury like that. I mean, there's less injuries that have put players out of the game. So to come back from that, and like you said, the previous injury when you broke your femur as well, that's such a massive injury. So you've certainly faced a lot of adversity throughout your career. But, you know, you come back fighting, you come back stronger, as you've said, and you've gone on to achieve great things within the game. After you left Tamworth, after that rehabilitation, you signed for Macclesfield Town, Newport County, before settling at Gateshead until you released earlier this year. So just tell us the highlights, really, of the time with those clubs.
Obviously, at the time, obviously, coming back from injury, I said, I'm lucky enough. No, when you're out of the game for so long, no one knows who you are. No one knows where you've been. And I was kind of lucky that Macclesfield took a chance on me. They asked me to come for a trial, and you know, it was my first competitive game, playing 45 minutes against Bolton, and I impressed. And they signed me on a non-contract, which, you know, obviously it's a risk, because if I got injured again with my knee, then it's going to put me out a long time. But it put me in a good stead. I was first six games, you know, I was on fire. I was playing really well. I was scoring goals, getting assists in the first six games, and all of a sudden then I had interest from other clubs then, because I was a non-contract, I can really sign for, if any club come in for me, I can sign for who I want. But obviously Macclesfield offered me a contract again to the end of the season, and I took it. I just wanted to repay faith for a club to take on someone who just come back from an ACL injury, and I repaid it that year. It was one of the best years of football. We just missed out on playoffs by on goal difference with such a small squad we had, with a low budget. And that season, I picked up Player of the Month for the Vanarama Premier, which again is a fantastic, up there, one of the best achievements I had, you know, by scoring goals, keeping clean sheets and winning so many games that month. And then being named in the Team of the Year that year as well, that took me onto a different level. Everyone has dreams. And then I had my dream come true. Then I get to sign for a Football League club, and it makes it even better that Football League club is a Welsh club, Newport County. It's like I said, it's in my blood. Welsh is in my blood. And to sign for a Welsh football club and to make 38 appearances that season for Newport was unbelievable. I was home. I get to play in front of my mates, get to play in front of my family. And it was just brilliant. I wish I could play a lot more appearances for Newport. And again, I was a little bit unlucky again. I was playing so well, and got offered a 2-year deal by the current manager. And then I think a week later, he got sacked. So obviously that deal got taken away from me. But it didn't stop me, you know. I didn't really moan and groan. I just got on with it. Had a good season, and cause due to so many managers we had that year, it was just a fresh start. And yeah, from there, and I kind of wanted to stay home. And I signed for a Southern Premier team called Merthyr Town. Again, it's something I really enjoyed. That obviously it was part-time football, which didn't really suit me. Obviously, training Tuesdays and Thursdays at the time, it was tough, but it was fully enjoyable. And my performances again that season were good. I had 5 goals. I think I had 20 assists that season, and it kind of, we just missed out. Like I said, again, we got in the playoffs and we lost on penalties in the semi-final, but it kind of spurred me on a lot more. I wasn't finished in football, and I had to move to Gateshead. It was a big ask to move 375 miles away from home. Obviously, that means I won't be able to see my family more often.
Yeah, sure.
It was kind of tough, but like I said, lucky enough, my mum and dad, you know, they travel to some away games, which they can make, which is pretty close. But every 4 weeks in, my dad come and see me in the northeast. Yeah, I've only wanted it to last a year. In the northeast, but again, I had a manager who believed in me, and Steve Watson, and I think it took me a knock to the head in the FA Cup. We played Luton in the FA Cup second round, and I was shielding the ball, go to my goalkeeper, and the player pushed me, and I collided with my goalkeeper. And he was Welsh. He's a local lad. He lives in a corner for me in Swansea, and he collided, and I got knocked out. And Teresa and Brian were there that day as well. White House, and I think they're very close people with me, and them two mean a lot to me. They always follow my football as well, and they were there, and I got knocked out. I got taken a stretcher away. I was out cold for about 15 minutes on the pitch. And it was that was kind of tough as well to take 10 days and I'm not eating, sleeping. But then it just took me to a whole new level again. I come back and I score goals against Hartlepool and I score goals against Tranmere. I probably scored one of the best goals of my career in the FA Trophy semi-final from about 30 yards again in a half volley. And then I don't score easy goals, I score hard ones. but I just totally loved it. I loved it. I had a manager who believed in me and I picked again. Like you say, I've always, every club I go to, I kind of see him as a fan's favourite. And that's what I do. I just put the hard work in. And you know, I think in any club, if they see a player who works hard and gives it all, whether they win, lose or draw, you know, you're going to get the respect. And that's what I always done. That's what I've always done for every club I've gone. I've always given 100%. And that's sometimes how I get to become a fan's favourite. And same again, like Gates said, and I've become, to be honest, they call me a legend now, but I don't see myself a legend, like Gates said. But, you know, they take to you, get you songs. And that season I had player of the year, fans player of the year, goal of the season. And I just totally loved it and I just extended it. And, you know, during the time, the club were in a difficult position with bad owners. You know, we had a bad owner in the second season, which nearly ruined the club and the club nearly went out of existence. But I'm saying that's how much the club meant to me. I fought it. I fought against the chairman because it meant a lot to me in the club. You know, I didn't want to see it go. We were in a fantastic position that season. We were in the playoffs. And again, we just missed out with 14 players we had that season. But it meant a lot to me. And like I said, now the 3 years I was at Gateshead, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like I said, I've been 3 years at Tamworth. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, fantastic club. No, fantastic club. I've met some fantastic people at the time at Tamworth. Like many people I mentioned, like Brian and Teresa. The people I live with, you know, Mandy and obviously Scott and Adam Chapman. I lived with them for 2 years. And to this day, I still go and see them. I still have a ball. I still go on holidays with them. And like I said, they're my best mates. And if it weren't for Mandy, Scott and Adam, when I had that injury at Tamworth, I think I would have been in a lot bad place because lucky enough, I was living in the house at the time. And they looked after me and looked after me of everything it did. Obviously, I had my operation in Coventry and they looked after me. So I always repay my faith to them, you know, and it's a family that mean a lot to me, Scott and Adam and obviously the mother. And the same in Gateshead, you know, I had a family in Gateshead as well who look after me as well. So I think 3 years I was there, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I wish it didn't end the way it did. But looking back, you know, the 3 years again, I'm very proud of what I've achieved at Gateshead.
And of course, you take your football family with you to wherever you end up next, just like you did from Tamworth. You still keep in touch with those guys, still speak highly of them, and it's just followed you through your career since.
You're 30. They have.
Sorry, Scott.
No, I say they have, and that's what I've always done. I've always, you know, whoever looked after me, I always repay the faith. And like I said, I always see Scott and Adam and see Mandy and again Brian, Teresa, I always speak to them and they're the people who mean a lot to me. And again, like the sponsors I had, you know, I had Brian and Teresa, I had Sarah Robinson who was my sponsor as well, and you know, I still speak to them now, and like I said, they mean a lot to me, and they're the people who kind of looked after me when I was at these clubs. And so like I said, I'm really, really grateful of what they did.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, you're 31 now, but hopefully you've still got a few seasons left in the tank. What does the future hold for Scott Barrow? And what do you still want to achieve in the game?
I'm still fit. As a 31-year-old, I'm still fit. I'm still pretty quick, to be honest, which is very rare. When you get older, you start losing your pace. But I think at the moment, I'm kind of gaining pace, which is kind of weird. But like I say, I'm fit and I want to keep playing at the highest standard as long as I can. You know, hopefully I get that opportunity, you know, whatever club comes in for me next. Hope I get that opportunity to play in the Conference Premier or even higher if I get that opportunity. But like I said, I still feel I got about 3 or 4 years left in me. I know I'm fit as a fit. I always look after my body. And then once that happens, then I don't really know what's going to happen after football. I'm doing my badges at the moment, doing them in Wales. Hopefully, you know, when I do finish football, maybe go into coaching or, you know, down that line somewhere. But who knows? But at the moment, I'm still fit. I'm hungry. And the one thing I'm missing in my career is a promotion. I'm dying to get a promotion. Imagine, as champion. So, you know, go through the playoffs. That's the one thing I miss. I've won all the individual accolades I can have, and all the player of the years, the team of the years, and, you know, player of the year for, you know, player of the month for Vanarama Premier. And that's one thing I'm missing, is a promotion. And, you know, I'm hoping I can get it, you know, in the next few years of my career.
Yeah, I think we've all got our fingers crossed for you on that front, Scott. And going back to the coaching as well, you know, football has got so much to gain from the attributes that Scott Barrow will bring to coaching after you finish playing football. So really hope that that works out for you. Just before we finish off today, Scott, is there anything that you would like to say specifically to the Tamworth fans that are listening into this podcast?
Oh, there's a lot I can say. You know, the 3 years I was there, I said they looked after me. I was, you know, a Welsh lad coming to Tamworth. I didn't, like I said, I didn't know where Tamworth was, but they took me in. It just didn't take me in. It took my family in as well, because when my dad and my mum come up to games, you know, after games, we were in the clubhouse, and I think I was always the last one to leave the clubhouse, and my dad was drinking with all the fans, you know, Andy Farrington and all that, you know, he's my dad is one of them. And like I said, they looked after me. They looked after, my family. And I'm forever grateful now. To this day, I still look at Tamworth's results, you know, obviously what's going on. And I don't think of what's going on at Tamworth, what happened with me at Tamworth. I know that them days in the past, and they are gone. I know. I just think of the good times what I had, and, you know, and the good times were, you know, scoring goals, playing the FA Cup, and making my debut for Tamworth. And I still kind of funny, to be honest, I still remember walking into my change room. It's kind of funny, you would laugh at this. Walking in the change room, I couldn't find my number. I was like, I'm sure I got number 19 this year. And I look at it, I said, busted. I said, where's my number? He said, oh, just in the corner there. So I looked at it, it's a number 19. I thought, he's got to be white. I said, busted, you got my name wrong. He said, I haven't. I said, you have. It's supposed to say Barrow. I said, it says Barlow. So playing against Eastbourne Borough in the first game of the season, I just got my name wrong. Instead of having Barrow in the back, it had Barlow.
Which, I don't remember that.
But the best thing was, I didn't notice it. So my dad told me when he was at the game, and we was walking out, obviously, you know, walking out.
You've like been nicknamed Gary ever since. Gary Barlow.
Seriously, walking a pitch and announcing the teams, and it got to my name, and I said number 19. They said the same as Scott Barrow. It said Simon Barlow.
Oh wow!
So that day, I still remember my dad told me, and my shirt. I think I still got the shirt somewhere with Barlow on the back somewhere. I don't know where I've kept them, but. Like I said, I thoroughly enjoy my time at Tamworth, and like I said, the fans are fantastic. Through the good times, you know, we nearly got relegated in the first year. But after that, then the club kept going, getting better and better. The players were bringing in and their quality. We just got get better and better, but just pretty we couldn't keep the quality players that we had, because I really thought that, you know, we did keep the quality players and the managers. Like, I think we had Marcus Lowe that season. I think the club would have gone on to bigger and better things. But obviously, it weren't. But like I said, the fans, they were fantastic. Always cheered me on, always looked after me, you know, when I was there. And I know I always say when I do come back to the area, I always come down to watch a game. So, yeah, it's a club that means a lot to me. And I'm forever thankful for the fans are looking after me.
Nice message, Scott. And I'm thoroughly glad that I tracked you down, managed to get this podcast done. Thank you so much for your time. I've really thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. I hope that's a two-way thing.
No, it'll be brilliant. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Great to talk to you, and hopefully I get to do it again in the future.
Okay, you take care and good luck with your next club.
Thank you very much.
Well, huge thanks to Scott for doing that interview with me. Thoroughly enjoyed that. I just wonder if anybody else can remember the wrong name on the shirt, because it would have been something hilarious at the time, but it certainly slipped my mind. So yeah, just pop it in the chat, any of you, if you were a fan at the time, can remember Scott playing, and in particular can remember that incident. So the weekly quarantine quiz. Well done to everyone that attempted last week's quiz based on the Lambs versus Kidderminster Harriers. Congratulations to Tony Gadsby and David Raxton, who both achieved 10 out of 10. Now, you can attempt the penultimate quiz, which is based on Lambs versus the Brewers in two guises, Burton Town and Albion. I'll pop the link in the chat in due course. But of course, that is also available on our official social media channels. Now, our next interview features Tamworth's new right fullback and former Aston Villa youth player, Liam Bateman. Stuart Jones caught up with Liam a bit earlier on in the week, and here is what he had to say.
Hello, listeners. I'm joined by Liam Bateman, our new signing today. Hi, Liam. How are you doing?
How's it going, Stuart? I'm all right. Thank you, yourself.
Yeah, really good. Thank you. And thank you again for joining us today. It's much appreciated.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Good. So I suppose it's best to start first and foremost to welcome you to Tamworth, and congratulations on signing for the club.
Thank you very much. I'm excited. I'm exciting times.
Yeah, we certainly all feel that way, don't we? Very impressed with the acquisitions we've made over the pre-season. Going to friendlies now, from the looks of things, hopefully the season not too long away from that as well.
Yeah, we'll be in well. We'll be in well. It sticks to the dates that's supposed to be happening. Yeah.
Yeah, it's certainly gathering pace, isn't it? As you say, but so it's been a tough couple of months, as we know. How have you found yourself coping with the pandemic and not being able to play competitive football?
Well, playing football so long for quite a bit of time, I haven't experienced a kind of long break like this. So in a positive way, I've just took the break, if you get what I mean. Just time to actually take myself away from football. So when the season actually came to an end, I just took myself away from football. I locked off my phone. I didn't do anything except I'd done my jogging, kept up to fitness, but I kind of stayed away from football. So this is the first time, besides my injury, I've been able to just take myself away from football. So, but I've still been working and that, so I haven't really stopped.
Yeah, so I suppose in that respect, it's a good distraction. If you can carry on working through the pandemic, it gives you time to sit and think about what if and that sort of thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah, especially being on the I wouldn't say front line, but being in the NHS, it kind of I was kind of as a key worker, so it was vital that I was there and helping amongst the team.
Ah, right, okay, that's interesting to know, isn't it? Yeah, it's so you've been extremely busy, as you say, of this period there.
Yeah, very busy, very busy.
Yeah, good. So as it's been touched on, you started your career at Aston Villa, playing at the club's youth team. But how did a boy from London end up playing up here in the Midlands?
So I moved from London about five. So me and my mum and my brother moved up to Nottingham. And I played for a local team in Nottingham, Calvert & Miners Welfare. From there, I was scouted by Derby County. So then I ended up playing for Derby County. after a couple of years, I ended up multiple Premier League teams were interested in me, and I went to Villa one time. I didn't even check out the other teams, and I literally, you know, it was that day when the times when all academy players, a lot of academy players were making debuts, like all Brighton and all them, the players. So I was like, this is the right place for me. It's a perfect place for me because they're bringing through young players. So I chose to stay in that, choose Villa.
Yeah, there was, as you say, around sort of Mark Albrighton's time, there was quite a decent production line of the younger lads getting into the first team, wasn't there?
Yeah, much so. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
So you had a successful, you played in a very successful team at Villa with the likes of Jack Grealish and Callum Robinson.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned earlier, you had a horror leg break, which ended your time at the club. How hard was that to take, and how did you find the strength to recover and return to playing football?
Well, I'll put it into perspective for you. Imagine working for something for 14 years and it literally be taken from you within minutes. That was literally it was horrific for me because I remember crying, not because of the pain, but knowing that what I've worked for had ended. So that was, even though it was a horrific break, that was the pain for me that made me kind of realize that, yeah, my career's over. And the four things that got me back was God, family, friends, and being told I wouldn't play again. Because that gave me the hunger to actually want to prove everyone wrong. You get what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's kind of the main things. And obviously Villa's facilities with physiotherapy and everything, they were dedicated to getting me back as well. So
yeah, no, that's you do hear stories. I've spent a little bit of time over the lockdown listening to podcasts and stuff, and there was a guy who used to play for Manchester United called Ben Thornley, come around at the same sort of time as the likes of David Beckham and the Nevilles, yeah. And that thing, and he was one that was pretty much they were absolutely convinced he would make it, and he played in a it was just like a reserve game, and I think they kind of just put him in just to get a few minutes because he was supposed to start a cup final, and similar thing. Horror leg break challenge from a defender, and that was it for him pretty much. He played again, but not at the level they really thought he would do.
And I bet it's harder back then with the less facilities as well. I bet the rehab in that was much different to what it is now.
Yeah, but no, it's right. But it's like you say, it's a split second, and that's it, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Yeah. But that's the game we're playing, and it's just one of them. You take it with it. You take it with the game.
Yeah. You say you don't know what's going to happen one game to the next, do you?
Literally.
So following your return to fitness, you signed for Ketchum in Town in 2015, and you played for the club for three seasons. What can you recall from the spell with Ketchum?
It was just the first season was literally getting myself back into love of football and actually not being fearful of going into challenges and that. So that was that first season of being at Kettering was pivotal with actually continuing football because I needed to realise I can actually play. And I think that playing at a club like that because it had fans and it had a lot of fans and following, it was a perfect base for me to actually get my love back and my actual ability back. So I was happy with my whole experience there, to be honest.
Yeah, and he was pretty much a regular for the three seasons, but he played quite frequently as well.
Yeah, and in that time I went to the B9 Academy when they first done the production with, the Vardy Academy. So we went to Man City. Yeah. So that was great as well. It was a good experience, to be honest.
Would you have been there at the same sort of time as Danny Newton and I think Elliot?
Yes, I was there in the first one. Yeah, I was there when he was there.
Yeah, there's a couple of ex Tamworth players that were around that time as well, weren't they?
It's a good little show. Good experience.
Yeah, no, also, I think it's good, isn't it, to see a player that's come from non-league give a bit back to non-league as well, to set up an academy like that and try and find a way for non-league players to get themselves back into the Football League or into the Football League in the first place.
Especially a player like him who's gone not just to the Prem, he's gone and done a lot more than was expected, if you got what I mean, from non-league. He's not just a Premier League player, he's a great player.
Yeah, absolutely. The years at Fleetwood and coming up to the Premier League with Leicester, as you say, it's not just
in the Prem.
One to the other, is it, as you say?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. So you signed for Baseford in 2018, spent two seasons with the club. How did those seasons pan out?
First season was great. Obviously, this season didn't quite finish off as a whole season, but just getting promoted, well, they just got promoted when I went there, and to end in the position where we were, it was quite a... We were around the playoffs in the start of the season, and then obviously we started to drop a bit, and we ended up, I believe it was seventh. So it was a good season to say you've just been promoted, and I received fans supporters player of the year. So that was a great season for me on a personal note, and obviously the next season we ended up being around playoffs. So it was a good experience at that as well.
Yeah, they're certainly a club at the sort of top end, aren't they, Baseford, in the league they're at. Which is the northern equivalent of the league we're in, isn't it, really? But they generally tend to be there or thereabouts, don't they? Also, the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, because I wasn't fortunate with... Obviously, I was in playoffs with Kettering before, and then this season it was looking like we were going to be in playoffs for Baseford. So I'm just ready to kind of win a league now. I want that winner's medal. I need that winner's medal. I do want it a lot.
I think that's something we're all very hopeful of, isn't it, this season. I think we're all very hopeful that you're at the right club to make that happen anyway.
Yeah, of course.
So you've played against Tamworth on a number of occasions. The most recent, and fans may recall, we played against Baseford. It was the last game of the pre-season friendlies for the 19-20 seasons have gone. What do you know about the club, and what drew you to sign for Tamworth?
Well, I always remember playing against them when I was at Villa, because in the pre-season games, that was one thing I do remember. And obviously, Andrew, being the manager and the coach, he's a Nottingham guy, so I know him as well. So he was the kind of guy who spoke to me and actually introduced me to the club and made it known that they were interested.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tamworth is a well-known club as well, with the fan base and being in non-league, being in the conference, and that it's been they're a known club.
Yeah. No, I think, as you say, with Andy, in terms of people, players in Nottingham, he don't seem to not know many, if you know.
There's a footballer.
There's a lot of people in that area.
Yeah, it's true.
But there wasn't too many problems at Tamworth last season, but filling the right-back position was something that proved a bit tricky. What can the fans expect from you this season?
100% every time I step on the pitch, to be honest, and... enjoying watching me, just enjoying watching football, because I'm a attacking fullback. I'm not the best at bigging up myself, to be honest, but they'll just know they're going to get 100% from me every time I step on the pitch.
Exactly the type of player we like, wholehearted, and gives 100%.
Yeah, I leave it on the pitch, and that's what I aim to do every game.
Fantastic. So you're probably in a good position to share your knowledge on the squad that we've assembled so far. You played with Aaron O'Connor and Lyndon Mickley during your time at Kettering Town. Have you been impressed with the recruitment that the club made so far?
Yeah, I've been very impressed. Obviously, as proven, they're already a strong team. But to actually make it even stronger is an achievement in itself. So it's good to be in a team with them and actually help them go on to do what they were aiming to do last season. And obviously, with players that I played with, it's good to know their quality, and they also know mine. So it will help. It's not just like we're jumping into a new team, because we actually know each other as well, and the team knows each other. So it's kind of, it's easier to gel, if you get what I mean?
Yeah. It's quite good, actually. We've spoken to a few of the other players, and there's a lot of links almost within the team of players who have played alongside each other and have that sort of knowledge of each other's games and stuff. So
I think that's non-league.
Yeah, it probably is, to be fair.
It's a small world. Yeah, it's a small world in non-league.
Yeah. Well, like I say, everyone's local to some degree, aren't they, I suppose? Yeah. But it's good to have those little links of you know, goals that know each other and know what each other's about. And it'd be very good to see that all put into practice when we get the opportunity.
Yeah, of course.
And just finally, Liam, do you have a particular message you'd like to pass on to the Tamworth supporters?
Well, whatever you expect from me, just believe my expectations for myself are even higher. So, yeah, I leave it all on the pitch and I expect a lot from myself. So that's it. That's what I've got for you guys.
No, that's good. And like you said, I think speaking to you today, that resonates very very loud and clear, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
So, no, look, do appreciate your time, Liam. Really good to chat to you and look forward to seeing you on the pitch very soon.
Yeah, thank you for talking to you as well. I mean, I'm excited for the season to come and I hope I prove to be a great impact on the team and we aim to win this league.
No, I'm sure you will, and we're all certainly hoping for the same.
All right, great stuff.
Top man, thank you very much.
It's fine.
Cheers.
And that interview does bring us to the end of this evening's show. Unfortunately, huge thanks to Liam for getting involved, and I'm sure you'll agree he's a very exciting prospect for Tamworth this coming season. I hope that everyone listening has enjoyed this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. And that's it for another week. Please join me back here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. for more interviews and news. And until then, on behalf of everyone at Tamworth Football Club, stay safe, stay alert, control the virus, and save lives. Your mom's in the ball. Pass it to Mama. But then we'll have a goal.